Saturday afternoon, and time to drop in at the Sportsman's Club for another of the favorite sports stories of Grantland Rice. Yes, every Saturday afternoon is yarn spinning time down at the Sportsman's Club, where the fans gather as guests of the Dean of American Sports Writers, Grantland Rice. Granny Rice, who has covered all the big sporting events of the past 30 years, has made a hobby also of collecting good stories about sports. You're all invited to these sessions of the Hot Stove League, so come along now as we meet the fans of Grantland Rice.
That's what I still say the Browns will do it. And I'd sure like to see him finish on top, too.
Well, there's Granny Rice coming in now.
Oh.
Let's ask him.
Hiya, Granny. Hiya,
Granny.
Well,
hey, it's good to see you.
Hello, everybody. Well, I can guess the question that's top on your minds this afternoon. It's this American League pennant race, isn't it?
You said it, Granny. Sure is.
Well, I'll tell you about that. It's one of the greatest we've ever had. And we all know the great job that Joe McCarthy's done with the Yanks, or what's left of them. But I've got to pick the Tigers. They got those two great pitchers, Newhouser, Dizzy Trout, Wakefield, a great hitter. And don't forget, they finish at home with the Yankees on the road. I'm pulling for the Yankees in a way, but I've got to stay with the Tigers.
Well, you're a good picker, Granny. Now then, what's the yarn for today?
Well, today I've got a football story for you. It was written by Joel Sayre for the American Mercury magazine, and it's called Rackety Rats.
Well, let's hear it, Granny.
Well, this is a different kind of football story, but it's a corker. In fact, it's got so many angles, I think you'd better get it straight from a certain Mr. Schatz, who was press agent for the chief stable of fighters and wrestlers. Now, don't let the fighters and wrestlers throw you off the beam. That's what I mean by Rackety Racks having so many angles. The first one being Mr. Schatz himself.
Schatz, that's me. I was a sports writer before I went to work for the chief. For the chief, I attended to the ballyhoo that always goes on before a fight or a wrestling match. And at the training camps, I took care of the writers and saw to it that they got everything they wanted in the way of information or alcohol. For the purposes of the story, that's all you got to know about me. Now, as to the chief, his name was Francis X. Fanux McGoyne, and he was a remarkable person. If you were ever in New York, you must have drunk some of his beer or spent an evening in one of his nightclubs or seen one of his fights. But besides that, he had other rackets, like the elections and the protection societies. On a whole, it was a good, solid business proposition and paid off good dividends. Until the chief happened to see a football game for the first time in his life. It was a day after this game that he called me into his private office.
You want to see me, chief?
Yeah. Sit down, Chatty.
Sure.
Being a sports writer, I suppose you know everything about this here football, huh?
Sure.
Why ain't I been told about it before?
Well, I don't know. I guess I thought you weren't interested in amateur sports.
Amateurs?
Yeah.
You ain't sitting there and telling me them's amateurs drawing all them gates.
Sure.
What are you trying to do, kid me or something?
No, Chief, I'm leveling, honest.
Baloney. Go ahead, give me the payoff in the record.
Well, let's see. The game is played on a field 360 feet long, including the end
zones. Nuts. Forget about them end zones and that stuff, and let's have the payoff on the racket.
Well, there are 11 players on each side.
Nuts.
Well, football is quite a thing,
Nuts.
Boss.
You figure I'm deaf and dumb or something?
Why, of course not, Chief, but I'm trying to tell you something about the game, and you keep cutting me off. Well, there are about 400 colleges in the United States that plays football.
What about the gates?
Well, the gates depends on the attraction. If two little schools with no class are playing, the crowd is small. But when two traditional rivals...
Huh?
I mean, when there are two colleges playing with plenty of class, see? Why, then they pack them in. When Notre Dame plays in Chicago, for instance, they always fill Soldier's Field. 80, 90, maybe even 100,000.
Go on. As much as that?
Honest, Chief, I'm leveling. Now, you take Harvard and Yale.
Them was the Yales we seen yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Boy, what a house. Well, go on. What I want to know is, who does what to who and who pays?
Well, Chief, that's kind of hard to explain. First of
wait
all...
Wait a minute. They play this here football in our territory here?
Sure. Columbia has a team, and Fordham, and NYU, and Little Alfred,
what's
and...
What's the leading stable here in town?
I'd say it was NYU, maybe Fordham.
What's this here, NYU?
It stands for New York University. It's up in the Heights.
Who's the main guy up there?
Chancellor Brown.
Chancellor Brown, huh?
Chief, I don't get you at all.
Get out, huh? No. I thought you were smart. The gag is this here football. That's the sweetest thing I heard about since Prohibition.
Yeah, but what's all that got to do with Chancellor Brown?
What's it got to do with that? I'm going to muscle in on his racket. That's what it's got to do with him. He's the main guy at this NYU joint that you just told me.
Now, wait a minute. You got me all wrong, Chief. This Chancellor Brown hasn't anything to do with football. He's the head of the university. He looks after the professors and the students and the affairs of the university.
Well, football's part of the affairs of the university, isn't it?
It is, and it isn't.
Well, who's the main guy in football at this here NYU?
Chick Meehan.
Chick Meehan, eh? Never heard of him. What's his take?
He doesn't get any take. He works on a straight salary.
Well, who does get all of those? I seen at New Haven last Saturday. They were selling hot dogs and programs and feathers and all that kinds of stuff. Whose racket is that?
Well, it's kind of a hard thing to explain, Chief. Look, there's the College Athletic Association, which is sort of the governing body of all the teams.
Oh, I see. They cut up the take, eh? How much do you pay the players?
They don't pay them anything.
They don't. Who's all this dough go to?
Well, at the end of the year, the money's turned over to the Athletic Association.
Well, what's going to keep me from muscling into this here football, huh? I muscled into the fight racket and the wrestling racket and the dog racket and plenty of other rackets, didn't I? Well, we'll find out who this graduate manager is up at NYU.
Now, listen to me, Chief, please, and get this straight. If you ever trusted me, trust me now. You're bucking a one racket in a world that can't be bucked. You do me and a mob and yourself a favor and lay off. Just lay off. You're doing all right.
Well, kid, it's a brand new gag to me, this year football, and as you say, I'm doing all right. But there must be some way to cut in. Maybe you do know what it's about, Shotzi, but I ain't done with it yet.
The chief didn't have time to think much more about football that fall because there was an election coming up. But the following year, about the 4th of July it was, I got a phone call that I was urgently wanted at number one. That's the chief's private suite in the Plaza Towers. When I got there, Mike and a counselor were already waiting, and the chief got to the point immediately.
Tell him, counselor.
I should tell him when it's your inspiration.
Why? Tell him.
Well, all right, chief, but you shouldn't be so modest. Before you, Mr. Schatz, there he is. You see, the founder of a great educational institution. The layer of a cornerstone that shall prevail down the corridors of time.
It's a gag to muscle into this here football racket, Shotzi.
Yeah.
Oh.
Since you and me had that talk last year, I've been figuring angles. Now I think I got a way. Now, you say it ain't possible to go up to this here Columbia, this here NYU, or this Fordham and just muscle right in, huh? Right.
Now it comes, just listen to this, Shotzi, an inspiration.
What do you say we open a university of our own?
That's it.
The counselor here tells me that opening a university ain't much different to opening a saloon. All you do is send a couple of bucks to Albany and the guy sends your incorporation papers back just like it was a gin mill. Well, we think up some name for our university and get the papers from Albany.
How's that? That's swell. But where are you going to get the teams?
Teams ain't no trouble at all. It's a wonderful chance to get some use out of that mob of palooka fighters and wrestlers I got eating their heads off.
Well, I guess they make wonderful material, all right. But what about a stadium?
Well, we thought the first season we'd play all our games away from home.
That's a good gag. Hey, you'll have to have a place to practice in, though.
Well, what's all the gyms for?
No, you gotta have dirt, Mike.
Well, how about one of them cavalry armories?
Well, an armory might do in a pinch, but what you've gotta have is a field somewhere, you know?
I got it. That place back at the warehouse in Canarsie. It's out of the way and nobody to bother us. And maybe we could even clear out the warehouse and make it like a regular training camp,
right? You got a wonderful name for the university right there. Canarsie. Canarsie University. It sounds swell. Good old Canarsie, huh? On Canarsie.
Okay. That's settled. All right. Now, you left the front for us, Shotzi. Knowing the collegiate racket and all. I guess you better be the guy you told me about that, that main mug in the racket?
The graduate manager of athletics?
That's it.
All right.
Now then, how you want this Canarsie University Incorporated, Chief? You'll be president, of course, but what'll I and Mike be?
What monikers would you give him, Shots?
Well, let's see. Mike can be the dean of the College of Liberal Arts, and the counselor... Huh? The counselor can be the dean of women.
Why can't I be the dean of women?
Shut up. Okay, kid. Draw on me for whatever dough you'll need. You take care of it so it's all legitimate, counselor.
One more thing. Huh? What colors do you want?
Colors?
Every college has to have its colors. Two of them.
So long as one of them's green, I don't care about the other one.
Hey, look, you know what? I seen some mighty pretty stockings on a little lady the other night. They're kind of a eggplant color. They look fine. Wonder what they call that shade, you know?
Puce.
Puce, huh?
Puce.
Puce and green. Sounds okay to me.
Gentlemen, I give you old Canarsie. Made of puce and green, never falter.
Yeah. Made of puce and green, never falter.
Well, I got Canarsie University a coach, and I fixed her up with her first schedule. I'll never forget that August when the candidates for the varsity answered the call. There were fighters running all the way from world's champions to palookas. Heavyweights, light heavies, and middleweights. And there were wrestlers, all heavyweights, and all around 300 pounds. The chief, Mike, the counselor, and I stood in the background as Frick Milligan, the coach, got to work on his gridiron material.
Now sit down, everybody, and get the wax out of your ears.
Yeah, all right, sit down.
Okay.
Well, you've all answered the call to play football for Canarsie. And that's what you're going to do, play football. And while you learn to play, you're going to learn it the way I give it to you. Where you come from, you may have been the world's champion of this and that, and I don't know what all, but now you're going to start from the bottom by using your head. And the first thing about using your head is you got to learn to pay attention to what I say. Now, hey, you. Come in. You.
Sure, boss.
Didn't I say you got to pay attention while I'm talking?
Sure, boss.
And why don't you pay attention?
Sure, boss.
What's the matter with you? Are you stupid or something?
Sure, boss.
Listen, you. I don't want any monkey business from you. When I start to...
Ah, forget it, Brick. He don't know what you're saying anyway. He can't speak English.
There was plenty of trouble with that squad. The fighters couldn't be taught at first not to sock, and the wrestlers would grab and hold. And then most of the guys in the team couldn't understand signals, so we had to use the huddle system. But Brick Gilligan was a smart coach. He figured that if those wrestlers could just be made to squat down and push, somebody in a backfield could carry the ball for a game. Well, after a month of scrimmage, the team was ready. Our first game was with Alfred. Well, of course, you know the result of the game. We outweighed the Alfred team more than 10 pounds a man, and when the slaughter was over, the score was 84 to nothing in our favor. After the game, I took the chief for a walk around the Alfred campus. He was impressed by the buildings.
Hey, ain't they got a plant here? This here is quite a joint. See, about them scholars today with their box, you know, that cheering section and all.
Yeah?
We get us something like that, too.
Well, don't bother about that, Chief. If you get a good team and some decent publicity, you'll have plenty of following. Look at Notre Dame.
Yeah, well, maybe so. But we got to have our mob next week in Philly. That's Boo Boo Hoffstown. I wouldn't want them to get the idea we was a bunch of pikers or no Class D mob. You leave it to me. I'll figure out some gag. Now, what else we need besides a mob of scholars to get out there and bark, huh?
Well, big schools usually have a band, too.
Oh, have a band, do they?
Yeah.
Well, I guess we can pull a connection in a band, all right. Here, yeah, a band, huh?
Of course, I was not surprised the next Saturday when a band appeared on a field. It marched out playing a Maine Stein song and played it surprisingly well for a college band. The chief was so proud, he was beaming from nose to ear.
How you like it? Good, huh?
Swell, but who's a drum major? I've seen him somewhere from the cut of his jib.
Sure you've seen him. That's Ernie Neville from the Suzette. And them's the bands from the rest of my clubs, all mashed into one. We tried to get Paul Whiteman, but he was playing a date in Shy.
Oh.
Hey, get a load of the scholar, Chancey.
Hey, those guys across the field, they're all smoking cigars, and they look middle-aged.
Sure. How do you like them girls?
Very pretty. Nice costumes, too.
Yeah, well, them's the guys in the mob, and the co-heads is from the chorus lines from the clubs. Sisbaum, you know, the fellow does the costumes. He fixed them up.
Oh, now I get it.
Sure, it's a cinch. We got scholars, we got a band, and we got a football team. We'll clean up in this racket.
Oh. Oh, I forgot to mention that we were playing Temple and we took the game 64 to nothing. We also got ourselves a special football song, which went like this. Let's see. As the puce and green sweeps down a field to that 5-yard line, Can we make our groaning rivals yield to their own goal line? You will hear Canarsie's rooters yell for their team to do or die.
Fight ya! They won't hurt ya, fight ya! Get in there, you mugs! Rah, rah, rah!
Yeah, team!
After we beat Detroit 33-0, we started pointing for our game with the Navy by playing a breather with the Case School of Applied Science in Cleveland. The game was such a foregone conclusion that I began to wish I brought a good book along when I noticed something screwy going on in the field. We were going backwards instead of forwards. Mike was sitting next to me in a stance, gloating.
Boy, hey, look what we're doing to them. Look at the way our boys are giving it to the cases there.
We're doing it to them, are you kidding? They're pushing Canarsie all over the field. Here it is, the game half over. We only got a 2-point lead, and the Case team is fighting like tigers.
Well, sure, that's what I mean. It's all going to come out like the chief wanted it to. 2-0 is the lowest score we could win by, and that's what we're going to do.
The lowest score? I don't get you.
You don't figure angles, Cathy, do you? Well, the chief does. Now, we play Navy next Saturday. Well, the Navy won from these cases 47-13 early in the season. Now, here we are. We're supposed to be the top of our form and look lucky to take 2 points off of them. Now, what do you suppose all these here football experts in the papers is going to say about chances of hanging on the Navy next Saturday?
They'll say we haven't got a chance.
Well, sure they will. And it'll blow the odds higher than a kite. After we finish playing the Navy next Saturday, the chief will have a first mortgage on all the battleship that Uncle Sam owns.
Well, it was just as the chief suspected, with everybody betting against Canarsie. Because the Navy was the classiest team on our schedule, the chief was anxious to make a good showing. And, of course, the game meant a lot to our coach, too. In the dressing room before the game, he gave the team the old hearts and flowers routine.
Fellas, we're here on the threshold of our big chance. This is the day we do or die. Today we're fighting for the future of old Canarsie. Your future, my future, the future of all of us. All Broadway, your Broadway, my Broadway is out there in the stands watching you, praying for you. But, fellas, never mind about old Canarsie. Never mind about old Broadway. Never mind about me. Just listen to this. It's a telegram that just come now. It's from my little 6-year-old girl. And it says, Daddy, bring me back the Navy. Elsie. There, you see, fellas, the real reason why I don't want to lose this game. I don't want to break the heart of a little 6-year-old kitty. Of course we can't bring her back to Navy like she says, but we can bring her back the football we'll take from the Navy if we win. Can you break the heart of a little 6-year-old kitty, fellas? It's for her I'm asking you. Are you going to disappoint a little 6-year-old kitty? Are you?
No.
Okay, fellas. Go out there and fight!
All right.
What are you rumbling? Gosh, that was a nice speech you made, Brick. It almost made me want to go out and fight the Navy myself. Let's see that telegram from your little girl, huh?
No, I...
Yeah. Let's see it. Elsie in the 6th at Belmont.
Paid off, too.
Well, if you think we didn't take the Navy, you're nuts. But how we took them is another matter. The Navy team seemed almost in a daze, and our wrestlers dug huge holes in our line. At the end of the first half, the score was 30-0. As usual, I was sitting next to Mike on a bench. And as usual, he had a grin on his face and was singing his favorite song.
When Irish eyes are smiling, assured it you.
Hey, what's the matter, Shotzi? Ain't this good? This is regular moita, huh?
Gosh, I thought we'd win all right, but I didn't figure on anything like this. Those Navy guys are stale. They're sluggish. They haven't got any more leg drive than a plate of oysters.
When Irish eyes are smiling.
Sir, it's a mystery to me. I don't see how that club out there ever hung it on Princeton and Georgetown.
Well, you just don't figure angles, Shotzi.
What do you mean?
Well, seeing as how you're one of the boys, I'll let you in on a little something.
Yeah?
You know that little spade waiter at the club Wham Bam?
Yeah.
Well, he got a job at the Naval Academy as scullion or something in the kitchen and prepared the steaks for the football squad. Mm. Lots of things can happen when a guy prepares steaks.
When Irish eyes are smiling, sure it is.
We made four more touchdowns the next half, and away our mugs picked up the Navy boys and dusted them off after they'd been knocked out cold, made a fine impression in the stands. And nearly all the sports writers commented on it the next day. Anyway, everything was going along fine, and the chief was making more money out of his football racket than from all his other rackets combined when we got an invitation to play a college in Chicago by the name of Lakeshore. And it wasn't until we accepted the invitation that the chief discovered that Lakeshore was a college operated by Maloney. On the day of the game, there was a large, solid block of gray-blue almost exactly in the middle of the Maloney stands, which I was trying to determine the cause of. Mike, beside me, had brought along a pair of binoculars and was squinting through them.
Well, well, well.
Hey, what do you see, Mike?
Well, it looks from here like they was mail carriers. It must be the boys from the Postal Workers Union giving their dogs a holiday. There you are. Take a look, huh?
Yeah, they're mail carriers, all right. But it doesn't look as though they were here on an outing. They all seem to have brought along their leather bags, and the bags look full.
Well, maybe they got something for somebody, huh? Oh, there goes the Maloney team, and look at them. Black helmets, black jerseys, black socks, black shoes. Hey, they must be going to a funeral.
Well, I sure hope it ain't ours. You could smell the stink of trouble beginning to spread as those bands started to out-oompa each other. And matters weren't helped when the Lakeshore band spelled out, "Kill Canarsie," and our boys counted with, "Louse up Lakeshore." Well, finally, the game got underway.
Hey, look at the Lakeshores. They're making a wide-end run around Oleson. Hey, wait a minute. Something's happening down there. Look, it's tonsillitis.
It's tonsillitis, all right, Counselor. I'm not taking him out of the game. Why, the dirty cooks, they done it on purpose. They ain't playing fair.
Tonsillitis was removed from the game with a pair of dislocated hips. A little later, Jesus the Horrible was similarly afflicted. Even Mike was worried by this time.
Oh, that Maloney mob was always famous for stealing the other guy's stuff, but I never expected nothing like this.
Well, I ain't surprised. They got the whole Pacific Coast troop of wrestlers on their club.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, what's the trouble, Chief?
Mike, scram down to Gilligan and tell him to take all them fighters out of the game and put nothing but wrestlers there till I tell him to stop.
Okay.
And tell him to make them wrestlers plenty big and tough.
You're right.
And tell him to tell them mugs to get in there and give them Maloneys the works or I'll come down and cut their heads off. Now, scram.
By the time the half ended, 29 of our baboons and 30 of theirs had been dragged, wounded, from the field. The dressing room was like a base hospital after a heavy bombardment.
How we fix, Brick?
Look, Chief, we're running out of wrestlers. That's a heck of a thing that's going on out there.
Ah, nuts. I'll show you how to play football. All you guys that's in shape, come here.
Okay.
All right. Now listen, yous. First of all, the fighters goes back in this half. We're going to pass them to death, see? Pass them to death right from the bell, see? And use mugs in a line to give them plenty protection, see? Or it'll be just too bad. And that goes for use ends and backs, too, see? The guy that muffs a pass or heaves one wild will be just too...
Wait a minute. What? A dicky draft, huh? Why, the dirty double-crossing rats.
Well, let them get a load of it. Nuts! 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 That goes for you, too, Maloney. This here's McGloin speaking. Yeah, nuts, McGloin, you big bohunk, you. And get this, if I ever...
Hey, Chief.
What do you want?
Well, you're talking for nothing. They can't hear you. The wire is broken.
When the second half started, there was a half dozen consecutive plays without a single casualty. And then they pulled a fast one on us. It happened like this. We had the ball on our 50-yard line. Switz was back with his arms outstretched, the ball was snapped, and there, clear away down the field, was Wooler, who could catch anything that stayed in the park. A sure touchdown. And then, suddenly, the ball stopped dead and dropped straight down to the ground.
It's Switz. Switz has got it in his hands. He's sticking his fingers right through it.
To what, you muzzler?
All right through the ball. There's a hole in it big enough to jump through.
Weeping job. Weep it. Them lousy bums shot it down. Was in a bag for a touchdown, and they put it in a spot.
Hey, do you think they used the Maxim silencer?
Yeah, sure. And look, there's the mug who done it. There, see, right where I'm pointing. You got a telescopic sight on it. They done it again, Chief. The same guy. Hey, they done it again.
That settles it. Mike, go over to that mob and tell them Maloney's that if they don't lay off, they get the works. The works, see?
Once more, three short, flat passes brought us to the middle of the field. And this time, the sharpshooter used a shotgun. The ball just vanished in midair. I turned to the chief, but he was gone. And then I saw him, running on a field with a water bucket. But instead of going for our team, for the Lakeshores, and threw it back for the Lakeshores. The explosion was terrific. And after the smoke cleared away, I could see the field strewn with black helmeted heads, black jerseyed torsos, black hosed legs. And then the shooting started. When I came to, I was standing outside the stadium wondering how I got there. The chief was standing in front of me, and two letter carriers were loading some canvas bags into a black car.
How's it, kid? You okay? Yeah. Just after kicking in the main box office. This here's the gate. I'm taking it on the land with Detroit till this blows over. Tell the boys I'm okay. I'll be back in about a month.
Okay, chief, but how about Canarsie?
Listen, looks like Canarsie University's all washed up for a while. But when I get back, we think of something else. Okay, let's get started, boys. We ain't got room for you, kid. Tell you what you do, though. Ed Grogan is just leaving over there by that ambulance. Scramble over there and he'll give you a lift. Okay. So long, kid.
I started running over to where the Grogan car was, and the chief stepped on a starter. The explosion lifted a car right into the air. Some of the heavy metalwork come down, but they never found a button at a chief. We found out later that the Maloneys had fastened an extra special bomb on a starting mechanism in the car. An old gag, but effective. So you see, that's why Canarsie University hasn't had a team on a field for the last couple of seasons.
This has been another visit to the Sportsman's Club for a favorite sports story of Grantland Rice. Today's story, Rackety Racks, was dramatized for radio by Ben Kagan. Paul Mann played Schatz. Walter Vaughn was the chief. Others in the cast included Alan Bunce, Jim Backus, and Clyde North. George Crooks was at the organ, and Grantland Rice was here in person. The production was under the direction of Herbert Rice. Ladies and gentlemen, America's free enterprises have made this country great. In peacetime, they contributed to our needs as civilians. In wartime, they're building materials for victory. Besides turning their efforts to winning a war, they have gone on the air to give millions of listeners, both home and overseas, the finest entertainment money can buy. In 1 week alone, advertisers have spent $60 million for radio programs over NBC. They have secured the best talent, technicians, and time so that the radio broadcasts you hear both day and evening are the top-ranking programs on the air. NBC is proud to be a part of America's heritage of the good things in life for everyone, everywhere. This is the National Broadcasting Company.